When I was a young teenager, in high school, I used to love to go into a class and see a substitute. Come on, you know what I'm talking about, right? It meant no work was being done. It meant it was going to be a mess or a wreck, and we were going to get away with murder. That's what it meant, right? I mean, am I the only one that knows that? Okay, well, I used to love that in high school, that I'd go in there and there's a substitute, and I could get away with things, and I wouldn't have to do my work, and the teacher would never know. You see, when the real teacher's there, there's law and order. And the mess and the chaos is not going to happen when the real teacher's there. I want you to know that when God is in his right place in our lives, in our homes, in our churches, the chaos is dealt with. Am I right, church? The chaos is dealt with. It doesn't matter how tough it is or how complicated it is. It doesn't matter how big the mess is. If God's in his right place, everything's going to be fine. You could be falling apart emotionally, and if God's in his right place, somehow you're going to come through and be stronger than you were before. It doesn't matter if you can't even pay the bills and get the bill, and the bill collectors keep knocking on your door and you don't even have the money to pay the bill, but you're just trusting God. Somehow God brings his people through. It doesn't matter the mess. If you keep God right where he's supposed to be in your lives, in your home, in your church, in your mind, if you keep him where he's supposed to be, it's going to work out. And there's no substitute for God being where he's supposed to be. You can't substitute God. You'll never be able to. You can't substitute him with things. You can't substitute him with substance. Or I like what the preacher said this weekend. You can't. He's better than our stuff, right? You can't substitute him with your stuff. You're never going to find happiness outside of God. Can I get an amen? You'll always be searching and striving, and you'll be happy one moment, sad the next. You'll be up one moment, then down the next. You'll be in one moment and out the next. But then there comes that time in your life when you make up your mind that you're going to put God where he belongs, and all of a sudden things become consistent. Here's the difference. You may be falling apart, but if you got God in the right place, somehow it works out. Amen? Somehow it works out. When God is in his right place, God somehow brings you through. There's no substitute for him. You see, I've tried to do my finances my own way. Can I get a witness? You've ever tried to do that? And then I try to do it God's way, and God's way works, don't it, church? Yeah, I even tried to better myself my own way. You know, elevate me up a little bit. I need to be better. I need to better myself. Give me some positive speaking or positive word that would get me out of this little rut that I'm in. And I've tried to get out of my own ruts. You ever tried to get out of your own ruts? Maybe you even dug your own rut and fell in it yourself. Amen. I've done that myself. I've tried to get out of my own ruts, but it's amazing that when I put God in the right place, he knows how to put the rope down into my hole that I dug, that I put myself in, and he knows how to pull me out of that place that I'm stuck in, that I decided, you know, I can do this. And how subtle do we do that? How subtle do we say, I can do this? Right? I got up this morning and I knew I was going to preach, and I've preached a lot. I've preached a lot, and there are times I've literally got up and I've, in my mind, I thought, hey, I can do this. I wasn't prideful or arrogant or, you know, lifted up in my mind. I just felt in my mind, I've preached a lot. I've done a lot of preaching. I can do this. I'm sure some of you sung songs and you said, oh, I can do this. Right? But there's something about getting out of God's way and doing it his way. When you do it God's way, there's always blessing. Now, I want to go back to this story because the Ark of the Covenant is in a place it shouldn't be, and I want to go back to the beginning. So if you go back in your Bibles, I don't want you to turn there. I'm just going to tell you the story, and you can read it later, okay? In 1 Samuel, in the beginning chapters of 1 Samuel, you will read the story of the Ark of the Covenant was taken away from the children of Israel. You see, Hophni and Phinehas were priests unto Eli, and Eli was the priest of God in the house of the Lord. But Hophni and Phinehas were wicked and vile, and they defiled the temple of God, and they did things that was evil in the sight of God. But yet they thought, because they were fighting the Philistines, that if they took the Ark of God down to the battlefield, and they put it out there, that surely God would give them victory. That's what you call twisting God's arm. We're going to force God to bless us right here. And so they felt like we could do this. So they took the Ark of God. And you know what they did? They all started shouting. The Bible said that the Philistines heard the shout of the children of Israel inside their camp. They heard this great roar, and the Philistines trembled because they knew the Ark of God had come. And they knew that the Ark of God represented power. It represented God and His presence. It represented an anointing. It represented that it was going to be tough to overcome this. Well, the Philistines, they mustered up enough strength to go out to war. And guess what God did? He let the Ark of the Covenant go into the hands of the Philistines. He let the Ark of the Covenant go into the hands of the Philistines. I want you to know something. Religious formality is not a substitute for God's true blessing. I want to say it again. Religious formality is not a substitute for God's real blessings. You can't twist God's arm. You can't do it your way and say, okay, God, I did it my way. Now bless me. I fixed my stuff. I got it right. I did it my way. And now pour out your spirit on me. And then you can't, you know, many people do it their way and they put the religious stamp on it. Right? They say, look, Lord, now I got it. Now here it is. And then some people will even say, God told me. But in actuality, they're in the flesh and they want to do it their own way and they want to operate in their own way. And so they try to put the stamp on it and say, God told me. I teach my children this concept. You better be careful when you say, God said. You don't say, God said. You don't use that unless you know that God literally put that in your heart and in your mind, because it's just a religious formality. Listen, I don't want to be a form of power. I want to operate in power. Amen? The Bible says there's a form of godliness, but it denies the power thereof. You see, Hophni and Phinehas, they knew how to come into church and go out of church, but they denied the power of God in their life. Church, we cannot be a form. We've got to be the real thing. Amen. Amen? The real thing. There's a lot of people today in church, they go to church and it is a form. They go out the building, they're the same, and I'm going to say something, and if I offend you, I'm sorry. They're the same devil they were when they came in. Right? And they don't, there's no change in their hearts. There's no transformation in their minds. And there's just a form. They came to church with this purpose in mind. I'm simply going to stamp my spiritual time card, but I'm only going to let God get so far in my life. He can come this far and not any closer. Church, we can't allow ourselves to be a form. We've got to be the real church. I don't want to look like the church. I want to be the real church. I don't want to march in the battlefield thinking I got power. Amen. That'd be the most horrible thing in the world to do. March on the battlefield and think you got it, and then when you got there, you find out you didn't. I can't tell you how many times I came to this job site on this church thinking I had the right tools, and I didn't. It happened almost every day. Listen, the people at Home Depot, they know me by name. Because I have had to go several times a day to Home Depot to get what I thought I had and I didn't have and I needed. I mean, all the time it happened. I don't want to be that. I don't want to be right where in the midst of a fight with the devil. I don't want to be in the midst of a battle over my children. I don't want to be in the midst of a struggle in my finances. I don't want to be in the midst of a battle on my jobs. I want to know that I've got God with me. I don't want to lose that. I don't want to lose that. I want to not be a form. I want to know consistently and constantly I've got the power of God with me. And the Bible says that the weapons of my warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Listen, we are mighty when we put God in His right place. There's nothing that can stop you when God's where He's supposed to be in your life. Hophni and Phinehas, they thought, let's just get the form out. Let's get this ark that represents power. You see, they knew the stories of how the priests put it on their shoulders. And when they walked into the Jordan River ceased to be. And all of a sudden the river stopped up and heaped upon itself and heaped upon itself. They knew of the miraculous things that took place because of the ark of God, how the glory of the Lord fell upon it. They knew that it represented the presence of God, and they thought, we will just simply bring God out there. Have you ever met folks that they use God when they want to?
Yeah.
I know people that got pocket scriptures. They don't know anything else but those scriptures. And when it behooves them, they whip those scriptures out. Especially when you pin them down and say, hey, what about your faithfulness to the Lord? Well, you know, the scriptures say. Hey, what about your commitment level to Christ? Well, the scriptures say. And they pull those things out. That's a form. You understand? That's a form. We've got to be the real thing.
Amen.
Because the people out there in this world,
yes,
the real thing is all that works. You can't go out there and rebuke the demonic powers of hell and drugs that are on people's lives and expect God to move if all you are is a form.
Amen.
Right? We need the substance of this life in Christ Jesus. Look at your neighbor and say, the Philistines don't know nothing. They don't know nothing. And I say that because this is the story. Let me continue the story, because Hophni and Phinehas lost the ark of God. The ark of the Lord went away, and the Bible said this, that Eli was sitting in a chair when he heard that his sons were dead. Hophni and Phinehas died on that battlefield when they took the ark of the covenant there. And Hophni and Phinehas died, and when Eli heard that the ark of the covenant was taken by the Philistines, the Bible said that he fell over backwards in his chair and broke his neck and died. And then he had a grandchild on the same day, and she named his name Ichabod. Meaning the glory of God has departed.
Amen.
What a bad place to be in the church. Amen. The glory of God is gone.
Amen.
And I would dare to say that we see today in the world, especially in the churches around America, the glory of God is gone, and there is nothing more than a formality of what was once real. Amen. The Philistines took the Ark of the Covenant and they began to pass it around. You know what they did with it? They set it next to their god Dagon. Mistake. Amen. That's not good. They put it in their holy place next to their god Dagon. They woke up in the morning, guess what? Dagon is flat on his face. And here's the kicker for me. They had to pick him up. You know, it's really bad when you got to pick up your own god.
Yep.
Right? You know something's wrong in this situation when you got to pick up your own god. And they just assume, hey, you know, maybe something happened. Maybe he just fell over. I don't know. Just, you know, maybe slipped. I don't know. And they didn't think nothing of it. The next morning they come out, his hands are chopped off, his head's on the floor. I think God's trying to make a statement.
Yes.
Right? And here's what the Philistines did. They didn't think, well, we better start serving the more high, powerful God. They said, we got to get this God out of here. I just don't get that. But that's what they did. They took the Ark of the Covenant and they passed it around. You know what God did to the Philistines? Some groups of them, he flooded them with mice. Then a plague of hemorrhoids flooded the Philistine camps. God was on the move, man. I just want to make one point about this. God knows how to take care of himself.
Amen.
Amen. How many believe that about your God? He can handle it. Amen. He can handle it. The Philistines got frustrated. They said, what are we going to do with this Ark of the Covenant? What are we going to do with it? It's really causing us grief. And they got their high priest to come out. Their high priest said, well, send it back, but you better don't send it away empty. So they made gold images of their mice that were flooded, that flooded their places. They made gold images of the hemorrhoids that attacked them. And they put it, this Bible, folk, it's Bible, all right? This is in the book. And they put it on they built a new cart. And they put the ark on it. And when they put the ark on the new cart, they put these new oxen that had never been trained or anything, never knew anything, and they tied the oxen to it. And they simply stood back. Nobody drove the ark. Nobody told the oxen where to go. The Philistines said, let's just see if this is really God. If it's really God, the oxen will start going back to Israel. And isn't it amazing that all of a sudden the ark of the Lord on this new cart with these new oxen starts heading back towards Israel? That's amazing, isn't it? And the children of it, and the Philistines just kind of followed around it and watched what was going on. They didn't touch it. They didn't do anything. And it went to Abinadab's house. And when they saw it, they saw the gold things. They saw the oxen. They saw the new cart. They saw all these things. And they recognized immediately what it was, that it was the Ark of the Covenant. And they stored it. Now, I want you to think this for a moment. When I said to look at your neighbor and said, the Philistines can't teach us anything. They don't know nothing about this. David probably talked to Abinadab and said, how did you get it? Well, it came to us on a new cart. And David must have thought in his mind, well, you know what? Maybe that's how I'll do it. I'll get a new cart and I'll put the ark on it. I'll get some oxen. We'll get them out there and we'll go out there. I want you to know the Philistines have nothing to do with the things of God. And I want to make this an illustration. I want this to sit in your mind. The world cannot teach us how to have church and be the church. Amen? I want to make a very, very important statement. This is not a pub. This ain't a rock out house. This is not a place for us to be foolish and act weird. This is a holy place unto God, sanctified for His purpose, for His will, for His glory. And I'm not looking at the Philistines saying, can you teach me how to do church? Teach me how to have it and how to do it. Well, if you would really distort some of them songs and the music, that would really do some things. You'd get some of them other young people to come in here. Listen, I ain't distorting nothing for nobody. Amen. This is all about Jesus Christ. And the gospel of Jesus Christ for me is enough. I don't know when it didn't become enough for others, but it is enough for me. And this church needs to understand that we cannot be a form, and we cannot look at the world and say, teach us how to be the church. David tried to use a formula that he saw in the Philistines to accomplish a godly task, and the Philistines have no part with God. The Philistines can't do it. They can't tell us what to do. Now, don't get me wrong. David's heart was in the right place. Listen, you can have your heart in the wrong place and do the wrong thing. Amen? Amen. David's heart was in the right place. He wanted the Ark of the God back where it belonged. He wanted to bring it back. But the problem was, is bringing it back, he thought, let's just do it this way. Here's a man who said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Here's a man who said, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Here's a man who taught us, who today we are taught by David, that the word of God is number one, but yet he did not even consult God's word on how to bring the ark home. Didn't look at it. Didn't even recognize it. How many times do we go through life and not consult God's word? Make serious, important decisions and not consult God's word. But I want you to know that the Philistines can't teach us. The world can't teach us. And this place is holy. And the way we're going to get to God is the way God says to get to me. We're not going to get there any other way, because the power of God resides in getting there God's way. Amen. Deliverance is in God's way, church. How's the drug addict delivered? When they come to God and God delivers them and God does it His way. Amen. It's true. Amen. Come on. Yeah, give Him praise. He's a deliverer. God delivers people, but He does it on His terms. You're not going to come to Him and say, God, I'll serve you when you do this. Okay, try that and see how it works. Amen. God, when you do some things for me, then I'll really serve you. Oh yeah, try that. That's exactly what other people did, trying to twist God's arm. You can't do that. It's God's way. God's way. The Philistines can't teach us. And I picture this. David's out in the front and they're just dancing. Woo! I mean, they're going nuts. They're playing the tambourines. They're playing the cymbals. And I mean, it's a full-blown church service. They're praising God going down the road, and everybody's doing their thing, and everybody's excited. And the whole time, God's not pleased. God's not happy. I'll get to why God's not happy in a moment, but I want you to know God's not happy. And they're dancing, they're doing their thing, and they're literally, it's when you don't do it God's way, It's nothing more than a performance. Right? It's nothing more than like Michael Jackson doing the moonwalk on a stage. Right? Just a performance. That's all it is. When we don't do it God's way, it's just a performance. It don't matter what we sing, how we sing. If it's not God's way, it's simply a performance. We cannot allow ourselves to be reduced to a performance because we're following a Philistine philosophy. Amen? We cannot be reduced to a place of where there's no power in our lives to deliver. Listen, I knew that when I needed deliverance, I could call grandma who knew how to touch heaven and get them sick on that devil. My grandma was a devil-stomping, preaching woman, and she'd find that devil, and she'd beat that devil down. I'm telling you. And I knew the power was there. I knew it was there as a young person. Grandma knew how to touch heaven, so I called Graham when the devil was all over me, and she'd find that devil in my life and take him out. Grandma knew how to punch him. And somehow I knew how, somehow the victory would come through all that. It would come, but it wasn't a performance, you see. It wasn't a performance. Grandma wasn't performing. She was doing war. She was battling, amen? She was battling. It was war. And in church, we can't perform this thing. There are lives at stake. Souls at stake. Deliverance at stake. Healings at stake. A move of God is at stake. A revival is at stake. Your blessing is at stake. Your touch from heaven is at stake. We cannot be reduced to a performance. And church, if there's anything, this new building is beautiful and wonderful, and I love this building. But oh, the greatest tragedy that would ever happen to this church is if we became a form. And we became a performance-based church. Listen, this building is beautiful, just as beautiful as any other building in this community. I know it is. But I want you to know we are not going to sacrifice the things of God and the holy things of God so that we can flood this place in. It's not going to work like that. People that are going to be in this place are going to have to deal with the true God and in His way. Amen? Amen? Give Him praise. Now, why did God strike Uzzah? Some people say the punishment don't fit the crime. God, why would you kill him? He was just trying to protect your stuff. He was just trying to keep it from falling. Why would you do this? Why would you strike him down? And let me explain it to you. First and foremost, Uzzah got used to the Ark of the Covenant. It was in his house a long time. And familiarity of something or being familiar with something is not a substitute for reverence. And something we lack today in the kingdom of God and in the church house is reverence. Reverence for his house, reverence for his things, reverence for his property, reverence for his word, reverence for his worship, reverence for the preaching, reverence to other people. We lack that a lot in the church house. And familiarity has a problem with that. You see, he had seen the Ark of the Covenant consistently and constantly, and it just became almost another box to him. And so in that lack of reverence attitude, it was okay for him to touch that, which the priest could only touch once a year. And I want you to know something. There's a greater responsibility upon the people who know better than the people who do not. To whom much is given, much is required, the scripture teaches us this. And so we as the body of believers are responsible for how we handle the things of God. Amen? We are responsible for that. Go ahead, give Him praise. You want to praise Him for that? Praise Him. We are responsible for how we do it. And we cannot, listen, this is one of the tragic things that happen in some of our seasoned veterans of saints. You've experienced so many things in God. Some of you great saints of the Lord that have been saved for many years, you have experienced high things in God that even probably I myself have not even experienced in God. And so that's a wonderful thing. But you know what the danger is? Becoming so familiar with the things of God that you forget how to just enjoy the things of God. and appreciate the things of God. I've seen people saved for years. When they first got saved, they smiled all the time. And now they come to church and you don't even know they are saved because they don't smile anymore. Amen? Amen? Come on now. Look at your neighbor and tell them, smile. Sometimes you gotta come back to that realization that God is really good to you. God's blessed you. How many of my seasoned veterans have got some testimonies you can testify about right now? How God's been good to you. Those are wonderful experiences and blessings from God. But listen, you can't become familiar with who God is and lose the reverence of Him. You've got to be respectful and honorable unto your God and thank Him for all He's done, because God's not done with you just yet. That's one of the first reasons why God did this, because reverence was not there. And responsibility left the house. The performance was on. You mean to tell me we could be singing and God not receiving? Yep. You mean to tell me we could be dancing and playing the tambourines and hitting cymbals and God ain't in it? Yep. Yeah, that's what the scripture teaches here. The next reason is because of what the ark represents. I want you to know that the ark is a picture of the redemptive work of Jesus Christ and Jesus Himself. Let me explain it to you. The Ark of the Covenant, it was a golden box, and inside it carried the Word of God. And the Bible tells us that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Bible tells us in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in the Ark of the Covenant, there resided the very Word of God. And the Bible said that the two cherubims with their wings touching one another, or almost touching one another, between those cherubims, the very presence of God resided in there and touched there. It was there on the Ark of the Covenant that the blood would be placed on the Ark of the Covenant, a type of redemption for humanity. It was that type. Then the two staves, the Bible tells us and teaches us that the Ark was to be carried by Levites on their shoulders because they were designated for that service and for that purpose, and they put it on their shoulder and they carried the ark, the Word of God, on their shoulders. Let me just elaborate for a moment. Peter said, you are a royal priesthood unto God, and you are called of God as Levites today to carry the Word of God on your shoulders. Do you understand the implications and the weight that you carry in the gospel? You carry a high weight. The Levites were commanded to carry it. They were sanctified for that purpose, to carry God's Word and to carry the picture of His redemption. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing that the Bible teaches us that the Levites couldn't be any younger than 30 and any older than 50? And it's amazing because of this, because the Bible says of Jesus, they said He's not yet 50, but we know He's 30. Remember what Jesus said to His mom? I'm not yet 30. My time hadn't come yet. And when He was 30 years of age, what did He start preaching? Repentance. It's a type and a fulfillment of God's Word and God's way. When Jesus hung on the cross, He hung on two pieces of wood. Isn't it amazing that the Word of God was suspended on the shoulders of Levites by two pieces of wood? I find it significant that God says, it's My way. And listen, God is not going to substitute the picture of His Son, the picture of redemption, just so you can have a new cart philosophy. Amen. God's not going to substitute that. And David did not understand the implications. He thought he was doing a good thing, but he was following a system that wasn't God. And we can't follow a system that isn't God and expect the blessings of God to flood this house. And so here, David makes a crucial mistake. He makes a mistake and he leaves it there because he doesn't know how to do it. And he asks this question. This is what I want to ask you. He says, how can the Ark of God come to me? How can that which represents Jesus, the Word, how can that which represents the presence of God, how can that which represents redemption, how can that come to me? And then he consulted the Word of God. And now we can understand, church, clearly why David danced before the Lord with all of his might. Now we understand why when the ark came into the city of David, David began to do a Holy Ghost jig. And he began to dance and shout before the Lord. He began to stop and get excited because now God's coming and he's coming his way. And when God comes his way, the blessings are coming. The power is coming. The anointing's coming. And we're going to be blessed no matter what. I don't know about you, but I've asked that question. How is God going to come to me? Have you ever asked yourself that question? How is he going to come to me? How can I get God's presence? You know, some people have had it at one time and they feel like they've lost it. And they've said this prayer, God, when am I going to feel you again? I've heard people say that. I've heard people say, And I've counseled with people who have said, I don't feel saved. Come on, somebody. Amen. I know that Scripture tells me I'm saved based on what I declare and what I once experienced. But today, if you were to truly ask me, I would say I don't feel much of it. I've had people tell me that. And what they're saying is, how can God's ark come to me? How can I get there? I want you to know there's no substitute for God's way.
Amen.
And anytime we try to substitute it, anytime we try to sugarcoat it or water it down, it loses its potency.
Right.
It loses its power to change.
Right.
It loses its power to do work in people's lives. And it brings confusion because the truth of God's word, when it's watered down, we don't know what it truly is. We don't know what it truly is. Have you ever drank watered down coffee? It's horrible, isn't it? You want something that has some kick. Matter of fact, I took my little brother to Starbucks one day and he said, give me a double shot. And I go, what's a double shot? I never had a double shot, never knew what it was. He says, a double shot of caffeine. And when I took one sip of that, I could feel my body going into convulsions. Immediately from the intake of caffeine. And church, I want you to know that God's way is that double shot. It's that double shot that will bring the power back in your life. That'll bring the strength back in your life. Some of you used to sing glory to God all day long and used to feel the rush of His presence and the glory of His touch and used to love just to spend time with God. But somehow through circumstance in life, you've been building new carts. You've been going about the business of God in your own way and you didn't even realize it. And God's speaking to your heart saying, come back to me. Come back to me. Let me revive you. I want you to know I can't revive you. I can't do it. But God can and will and wants to revive you. Amen. Can you give the Lord glory in the house? Heavenly Father, this morning we want to do it your way. Father, there is no substitute. We're not building a new cart. Father, we have a new building, but this is no new cart. Father, this is simply a place for you to work in people's lives and hearts. God, we're not trying to do it our way. We want to do it your way. Father, we don't want to be a performance. We want to be the real thing. We don't want to be a form. We want to be the real thing. God, we don't want any of those things. We don't want to just get familiar with you. We want to have you consistently and be in awe of you every day.
Yes.
And Father, tonight, this morning, right now, in every heart and life, would you please, Father, begin to move in lives, move in hearts. Father, there are people here who have been battling in their own life and in their own heart, and they need a touch this morning. They need a touch from you. I want my altar workers, would you please come, altar workers? I want you to come stand up here. Every head bowed, every eye closed, just for a moment in time. Maybe this morning there's somebody here who's not right with God. Maybe your heart isn't where it's supposed to be. And maybe you've been trying to run your life your way, and that's it. And you've not allowed God to come and take over and to be your guide and your strength. And maybe the Spirit of God is speaking to you and saying, I'm talking to you today. I want you to come to me. I want you to come to me, and I want you to give your life wholly unto me. I want you to surrender your way and accept my way. I want you to let go of what others have said. I want you to be a blank slate and let God just draw what he wants to draw on you. Be the blank canvas and let God the artist draw in your own in your life. The Spirit of God is speaking to you saying, surrender all to me. Surrender all to me. Don't hold back anymore. Don't be a form. As my grandma would put it, don't be a fake. Be real, be true, be on fire. Let the fire of the Holy Spirit flow in your life. And the Holy Spirit speaking to you. And if any point that God has spoke to you in this message and you need prayer, salvation, healing, strength, spiritual strength, no matter what it is, I want you to come right now. Would you come? Would you come? Come. Spirit of God speaking to you. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Don't hold back. Come to the Lord right now. Come to the Lord right now. Come on, you need the Lord. You need a touch. Listen, you may be saved, but you just need a fresh touch from God. You may be an on-fire believer, but you want a fresh touch. Come get it from the Lord right now. Don't hesitate. Come. You just stand in the front. Raise your hands to heaven and begin to praise him. You know how to touch heaven. You know how to get to God his way. So just come and begin to worship him right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I need all my altar workers working these altars, praying for people. Praying for people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Casey, come help me pray for folks, please. Brother Jack Kowski, will you help me pray for people, please? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, right now, move in a mighty way. Move in a mighty way. Listen, folks, if you have to be dismissed, I want to say, God bless you. We love you. But please, please be respectful as you exit this building to be as quiet as you possibly can, because these folks here are trying to be blessed and receive something from God. Be respectful as you're dismissed. We want to say, God bless you. We love you. Hallelujah. Father, right now, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus.
Lord, I'm hungry.
Father, we come to you. And we come to you in your
way.
Father, we set aside our own agendas and our own thoughts and what we think it ought to be. We say, Father, speak us your ways.
How I long to see
Father, move in her right now. God, pour out your spirit in her life and her heart. God,
inside of me.